Good afternoon. Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Tanya and Beth, Janelle,
Brenna.
I need to write that down. And Tara and myself, Sandy. Last time we were talking about Jesus' authority and how he commands us to go with that authority and to reach those that are lost. And we had looked it up, and there's about 6 billion people that are lost. There's a lot of work to be done. The harvest is, it's ripe. We need to find somebody, go two by two sometimes, and just talk about the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and you know, I love the fact that you brought up that Jesus sent them out two by twos. In this particular passage, I didn't do it in the story, but Jesus labels them, the apostles, by two. Mm-hmm. And so he sent them out, and so he referred to them. It was Peter and Andrew and then James and John. And so commentators actually believe that that was the set pairs. So as it says it in Scripture, that's what he would have sent them as.
I never knew that.
Isn't that fun?
Did you know?
I did not know that.
And so that was the most likely the order that they went. And the reason is to set up that way because... Levitical law said two. You needed the two minimum for a witness. And
plus it gives you that encouragement with somebody, you know, when you're down there up, you know, that strength
that's
from Jesus.
Yeah. Somebody's always got your back. Mm-hmm. So here's the passage we've been looking at. We're looking at Matthew 9, verses 35, and then taking it through Matthew 10, verse 16. And it is the time where Jesus is, there's a big shift occurring. It's a huge shift. It has been up to this point all about them just walking behind Jesus and following Jesus. It's all been them watch and see. They've observed him preach. They've observed him teach. They've observed him heal. Now, what we have to understand is every time he did anything that was miraculous or brought about healing, it was for the purpose of setting the path straight for somebody to receive the gospel. Mm-hmm. The goal is never the healing. Mm. That is in order to pave the way for them to get the gospel. Mm-hmm. And when he sends them out, he says to them, I want you to go, and I want you to, he tells them in the passage what, that they are able to cast out demons and to heal every disease. But then he says, for the purpose of giving the gospel. Mm-hmm. It is always for the purpose. It is never the main thing. And so we have to always remember that. The healing is to get us ready so that we can hear. Mm-hmm. So he's taking care of the physical so the spiritual can take place. Mm-hmm. And as Jesus was traveling, he was healing the people, and he saw the people were harassed. He saw they were hassled. He saw they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he tells them the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. And that we need, the disciples should pray to the Lord of the harvest to send the workers. He calls in the apostles, and he tells them that he's going to send them out by two, and he begins to tell them what they shouldn't take. And so he tells them all the things that they're not supposed to take, and then he tells them, I'm sending you out, and I want you to be very shrewd. I want you to be like a snake, but I want you to be innocent like a dove. So he wants the slyness of a snake, but innocent as a dove. Mm-hmm. So that kind of sets the stage so that we'll know what our passage is about. Mm-hmm. Go read it. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. What I'm wanting us to look at, we've been dialoguing. I want us to think through this whole passage. What is it that we can learn about Jesus? Mm-hmm. What are the truths that you grasp about just Jesus? What do you learn about how he interacts with the disciples, how he interacts with the people, maybe his character or the things that he says? What is he passionate about? What's on his heart? What are you taking from it?
Well, I think Tanya kind of talked about compassion. The love. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He always shows his love as he teaches.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to say. The love. It's, you know, and that several times in here, not just in this passage, but, you know, he comes someplace and they're all, you know, there's people everywhere. And instead of saying, you know, I'm tired, you know, I want to take a rest, what they always say is, he has compassion on them. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes he says, you know, he took pity on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sweet.
It's just amazing, no matter what circumstance he's in.
The Greek word in that for the word compassion. I'm going to butcher it, so if you're a Greek scholar, just forgive me. But it's splanknizomai, and it's used 12 times in the Gospels. And it is literally a welling up from the bowels or the intestines. Mm. It isn't a, he had compassion. It is literally hurt in the gut for them kind of feeling. Mm. And, you know, that it's a depth of emotion, a welling up from the deep, deep heart of his heart for this person. And I was just yesterday meeting with someone, and we were talking, and the person was sharing with me about, a long distance relationship. And I said, you know, one of the things that you can find in evidence of love for somebody is if you hurt when that person hurts. Mm. And my friend was, oh my, you know, because when you really love somebody, when that person hurts, it physically actually hurts you. Mm. And that is what it was, is Jesus saw that they had evil leaders over them. Mm-hmm. He saw it, and he knew that they had no spiritual guidance. So it was from the depth of his gut that he loved them. What else do you see about Jesus?
In verse 1 of chapter 10, I don't know, this is really, it strikes me. It says, before he sends them out, he says he calls his 12 disciples to him. Like, he just brings them near, like, gathers them around. It's so personal. It's not just like he's teaching the crowds like he normally does, but he's like, you guys are my elite, my best of the best, and I'm giving you a mission. Come closer. Let me tell you about it. It's so, like, so personal and so intimate, and he gives them that charge from right next to him, right at his side, right in his presence, like we talked about last time.
I love it.
Yeah, and he's healing the disciples here, too. I never noticed that until just now. You know, he went out to heal other people, but, you know, he's healing them and casting out evil spirits from them.
He's definitely. If you have looked at each of the men, I mean, that he called, the reason why they give titles, you know, the son of Zebedee or the tax collector, he is wanting us to see how the healing has occurred in their lives up to this point. That's why it's an identifier. You know, he's the tax collector that was following Jesus. Yeah. They wanted them to know who the Matthew was and who they were.
And it also teaches that he uses normal people of everyday life instead of who we think he might use, I guess.
Is anybody not normal?
I don't think there is a normal, do you?
You know, it's so funny because, you know, we looked at what status or symbols or something as if they're special, but they're just normal people in a different position. We got to remember that. It's important. That's so important.
That's very true.
Okay, what else do you learn about Jesus? Is he faithful to what he's been called to do?
Always.
What's he faithful to do?
Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead.
Yeah,
all right, good.
When they work on the practical first.
Mm. He took care of needs. He was faithful to it. You're exactly right. Exactly. I mean, he was faithful with what he was doing in touching the people at their point of need.
Exactly.
And what is something that then, because you're tagging into it, then what enabled him to be free and
to share,
to preach and to teach?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what else can you find about Jesus? The reason why I do this, when you have a passage of scripture, you want to take the time to ask, what do I learn about God? What do I learn about Jesus? What can I learn about the Holy Spirit? Sometimes you'll have one, sometimes you'll have both, sometimes you'll have all three. But every passage of scripture will give a revelation of God's, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit's character, something they have to say, whether it's a promise, a command, a hope, a principle. We can learn a lot about that. And so every time you study scripture, you want to ask those questions. So as we're looking at this, what else can you see? Is he is pulling them in close to his heart.
So he also was faithful to his calling to preach to the people of Israel first.
Remained
his chosen.
Okay. Why do you think it was important it was to Israel first?
Those were God's people.
Yeah,
that's
God's
right.
Chosen people.
And it was consistent through history. It always starts first with Israel. Mm-hmm. that mm. shows and sets apart, because that's what God has shown, and it's been from Genesis, you know, through mm-hmm. Revelation, consistent. God is consistent.
Yeah, and Revelation talks a lot about the Jews and God's people and, you know, bringing them home, mm. the lost.
I read a commentator that said that today what can end up happening in Christian circles is that we can let go of pursuing the Jews, mm-hmm. and we will go with other people, go after other people groups, and we cannot mm-hmm. forget we are first called to reach
right
the Jews.
And that's why he told us not, or told them not to go to the Gentiles mm-hmm. or Samaritans.
We need to mm-hmm. think on that. That doesn't mean that God negates other people. That's not it. It's just that
right.
he had a process of what he was mm-hmm. working through. Okay, good.
Well, you know, something else that, you know, every time I see the word pray, you know, we're always commanded to pray. We want to pray. But in Revelation, last night we talked about the incense and then also the prayers of the saints. I mean, to me that was like, wow, all of our prayers. Mm-hmm. There, you know, and he's just in front of God constantly, and then it was neat.
They're a beautiful, fragrant aroma. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are. You can't see it, but what she was demonstrating with her hands was the fragrant aroma.
Going up.
She was expressing visually. We needed to get it verbally.
Yeah. And we want our prayers doing that.
Mm-hmm. And a very fragrant aroma prayer to pray would be praying for the laborers to go to the mm-hmm. harvest, mm-hmm. so praying for the lost souls.
And the lost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I think that, like, along with Jesus being so personal with his disciples, you know, the next passage talks about all of the trials that they're going to face, all of the dangers that they're going to go through. You know, Jesus was so close to these men. These were his core group, and he had to send them away from himself into sure danger that he knew was going to happen. Like, he's God, he wouldn't fear, but can you imagine how hard that would be to send your closest friends to their deaths for your sake, knowing that their preaching of the good news was what was going to be what eventually would take their lives. Like, that would be really, really mm. hard, but at the same time, it's also the greatest purpose of their life.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that catches the heart of an amazing part of God. I want you to think about this. Jesus is seeing the equipping that needs to happen ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And as a Christian leader, if we look at this passage, what we want to do is we're examining these character traits of Jesus. We're supposed to imitate Jesus. So we have to examine what that might mean for us. And so as he is equipping them, what did he do in by way of preparation for them? What things did he tell them they needed to do?
Well, when he talked about going somewhere that they rejected him, that they just dusted off their feet and went on, and that's just telling us, you know, we can tell everybody about the good news. That doesn't mean they're always going to accept it, that they may reject it, mm-hmm. and we can't take it personal. We need to just move on to the next person, I guess.
Yeah,
but never give up on them.
In some cases, it says in the next town, it says person or town. Mm-hmm. It can be mm-hmm. where an entire town can reject
right.
the word of the Lord. And so it's crazy as we sit here and we read through this. I'm thinking, as I look at it, just the detail of what he was telling them they should not have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what does that tell you? He says what? You have received freely, so you're to give freely. So don't take money. Don't take extra clothes, essentially. He said belt and tunic and bag. And so he's listing out clothes. Mm-hmm. You don't need an extra staff. You can take what you have. So essentially they would be in their cloak, their sandals, their clothes that they're in, whatever they have on them that is a normal standard for, okay, I'm leaving my house, this is what I've got. So if their normal standard is they had a staff, then they would have it. They just wouldn't take an extra staff.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that explains, because in the Mark, I think it actually refers the staff. And so there's a debate. And the reason is that it would have been whatever the norm is mm-hmm. when you were leaving. You don't take anything beyond that. Now, I don't know about y'all. When you travel, do you take extra stuff?
Yes.
Does anybody in this room overpack?
Yes.
Has anybody in this room lugged suitcases that they shouldn't have been lugging?
Right.
And they didn't use 75-80% of what was in their suitcase?
And we take it because we just don't know. Uh-huh. We don't know what's going to happen. So we just take everything.
Right. Everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Just in case.
Yep. I'm a little better, but not good yet.
I think Jesus was giving them a plan for not to overpack.
Yes, I do too.
So yeah, before so you specific. Travel again, yeah. read this passage and you'll do
just take what you need.
What was it that they needed? Hmm. What did they need?
Trust.
Dependence on God.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Jesus.
He's clarifying for them. He is clearly clarifying. He says, he opens up, I have given you authority. I have given you authority. Yeah.
You are prepared.
I am the authority, and I have given you authority. You don't need stuff.
Yeah.
You don't need the pursuit of money. You don't need the pursuit of anything. I have freely given to you, and I want you to freely give. So he is showing them, and thereby showing us, he's given it. Mm-hmm. We have what we need. We do not have to have all these things that we think. And I know a lot of times with speaking engagements in different circumstances, I'll be asked, you know, well, what do you have for media? And do you have a PowerPoint? And and do you have songs? And do you have, and I mean, the list goes on and on of a plethora of things that they want to know, will you bring this with you? And in one circumstance, I was praying and, you know, and I know that culturally we use those things to be relevant, but ultimately it comes down to, as a giver of the gospel, a person who goes out and tells about Jesus, all you need is your person and the word that Christ has given you through the word of God. Mm. And one time in one of my speaking circumstances, the person was like, well, do you have this? 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 I'm like, no. And they're like, well, what do you have? And I said, the gospel. And the person just kind of froze, you know, it's like, oh man, I could have had a V8.
Yeah.
You know, totally got it. And I go, I prayed about it. God has put on my heart, I am not to use anything this time but the word. He wants there to be no distractions.
And they can be distractions, you're right.
And the person's like, okay. And so I think that there may have been a little tension of fear that, oh my goodness, this person's not going to be relevant.
Right.
Well, after that particular circumstance, I had a person come up to me afterwards, and it was quite ironic, and that's the only reason why I'll share this. The person said, you know, she goes, sit through a lot of people speaking all the time, and she goes, most are boring. And I was on the edge of my seat. Oh, I was awesome. Captivated. She goes, I could not stop listening. And I just wanted to say thank you. And she walked away, and I thought, wow, that is just the perfect proof that the gospel is sufficient.
Amen.
That I don't have to have all the stuff. It was like God was using that to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough. Thank you so much. We're so glad you're listening. We want you to come back, because next week we're going to examine the disciples and what we can learn about the disciples based on this passage. God bless.